we have a time certain next. Oh, excuse me. You're going to pull. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, we've got a time certain at.
Are you going to pull 544?
I'm going to take up 544 for the momentary purpose of referring it back to my
and
office.
And then I'll give you may I make a proposal
so,
after that.
So if there's no objection, that's what we're doing with 544, and then we can't take up 545
so if,
yet.
If we can take it up in tandem with 554, I can put 554 on right now, and then the time certain to follow.
Okay, let's do that. Let's take item 554, please.
554, authorize a contract with CH2 M. Hill Engineers, Inc. for professional services for the design of the structural rehabilitation of Taggart Outfall 30, BES number E10220 for $2,563,250.
Mr. Fish.
Mayor, this was placed on the consent agenda by mistake, and these matters per the agreement, per your direction and the agreement of the council, these will be heard on the regular agenda. And I want to introduce Scott Gibson and Tammy Cleese, and they're going to walk us through it. Welcome.
Good morning.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning, Mr. Mayor, to the council. We're here today to ask for permission to enter into our contract with the firm CH2M Hill for design of the structural outfall of Taggart Outfall 30. The amount of the contract is $2,563,250. Five proposals were received, and this firm was considered to be the most qualified. They actually did an excellent job of helping us meet our MWESB goals on this through some creative partnering, and they've come up with a 34% of the total contract amount will go to MWESB participating firms. And with me is Tammy, our project manager for this effort. She's going to walk you through some slides to show you what the project is about and what next steps we'll have. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Tammy Cleese with BES, and I wanted to walk you through why we think this project is important. So this is the project as we've scoped it currently. You can see it's just south of OMSI and right north of the Ross Island Bridge. This is our largest outfall, the 10-foot diameter brick sewer that serves our largest combined sewer basin in the city of Portland. Originally, it was scoped for a larger section, in fact, even pipes that are off this map. We did a CCTV and did an assessment in 2012 and narrowed it down to the pipes of concern, both structural and operational ratings. So you can see from the red highlight, this is the scope that we're moving forward with the PTE with CH2M Hill. One note is if you look at the most western section, that pipe is not in right-of-way. It's actually in private property underneath buildings, so access is a primary concern for us here and a reason that we're concerned. A little history on the Brooklyn Street District Sewer. You can see here that when it was built in 1909, City Council actually fired a number of people working on it due to the groundwater they found seeping through the bottom, which are the pavers there. So
What year was that again?
1906. So this is actually they're referring to the June 23rd council.
This is an old-fashioned brick pipe.
It's an old-fashioned brick pipe. It's got the Belgian pavers on the bottom with some sand in it, so I'm not surprised there's some water in it, but that didn't meet the expectations and is not what City Council wanted to see. But they did get 3 miles worth of this sewer for $250,000, so. But the important part is 108 years later, it still looks pretty good. It's held up. Other than now, we are starting to see some cracking in the crown. And again, the reason that we're concerned with this at this time, it's 108 years, we expect some wear and tear, and you've seen worse sewers. But this outfall does serve as an overflow point for the largest combined sewer basin, about a quarter of the east side sewer basin, 3,840 acres, to allow it to overflow first to the east side tunnel and then out to the river. So without that in place, we won't have any way to relieve that system. The size ranges from 66 inches to 120 inches in diameter, depths from 23 to 64 feet as it exists. We've got approximately a $15.5 million project. Just some cracking that you'll see at the crown. Again, the problem is major issues for this is the cracking once it starts to crack and a brick sewer unravels, how to get it repaired. We need to do this, be very specific to have access points in private property. We have a flow of approximately 700 CFS, so we can only do this in the dry. There is no possible way to divert this if it happens when we're not prepared. There's been previous repairs. As you can see here, they've got some cracking in the spring line. They've had some other larger deficits in the roof that they've went in and patched. Right now, MLK, they've actually done in 1969 a relatively large repair where they put in some corrugated metal pipe. You can see the original picture. It's not real clear in our CCTV, but that's even started to deteriorate right now. Our next steps with the design contract would do investigation, so we'll do some more geotechnical investigation, ground penetrating radar to see what kind of soils we have outside the pipe, because with that flowing, with the flowing waters that we saw from the 1909 newsletter that we're worried about there not being enough soil outside. Then we'll do a structural assessment to determine with those, with the soils we have in place outside the pipe, what the pipe actually can perform, how we can do a composite design in order to best utilize the existing pipe, this pipe structure that's there. There is some additional costs, risk to cost of the project, in the sense of when we go in and do a larger investigation, would that original assessment drive us to bring in some more of the pipe segments that we took out? When we narrowed it down, did we narrow it down too far? Maybe there's some we have to put back in. Private property access, where do we need it? How do we get it? And then rehab technologies, depending on how much structure we have left of the pipe and outside the pipe, what kind of technologies? These are no off-the-shelf technologies. This is going to take a combination of technologies probably to repair this pipe. So there are some unknowns. We think we've put that in the contract, but there is some risk that we may find some things we hadn't anticipated exactly. And this is a picture of the pipe further up in the system. And again, this pipe looks great. And so we've seen it. We know what it can look like. And it was, the workmanship, spectacular.
So our next steps will be, we're just getting into the design phase. So the 15.5 lifetime budget for this effort, we have a low to moderate level of confidence in that estimate. The design fee, we have a pretty high level of confidence in this particular council action, which is authorizing the contract. We have a relatively high level of confidence that this is what we need to get through the design and construction phase. Further actions, once we get through design, we'll be back to ask for approval of a construction contract sometime 2 years down the road, and then this will be shown in our budget as an ongoing basis as a line item for your approval in the future.
Does the scope of work include potential relocation, or is it just rehabilitation?
Just rehabilitation.
Okay. And could you go back to your map for a moment? So I assume you're fully engaged in this, but I want to make sure, and that is the Planning Bureau and PDC and the community are involved in a pretty fast-paced station area planning effort about this area right here. In an ideal world, we might, well, maybe not even an ideal, in the actual world, we might actually change the street grid in this sub-district, particularly in the area between the light rail tracks, southeast Milwaukee and Powell, namely that Gideon Street is not exactly in the right place in terms of what the neighborhood's going to be like now. So my question is, does your design contract that you're asking us to approve contain coordination requirements with that planning effort, or is that coordination all being done by BES staff? And then secondly, are we considering design options that will provide a maximum flexibility to planning and PBOT when they say, no, the street ought to actually be here? In other words, your location of manholes and equipment access might be different if the street grid is different. Is everybody coordinated here, or are we just planning a sewer project?
To answer that, the CH2M Hill public involvement, they've been a part of that planning process. They were a big part of the TriMet, so they're well aware of what's going on in the area and actually one of the very strong points of their PTE presentation was how much time they've spent out understanding what's going on. And a part of that is that we have added in extra contingencies, not contingencies, but we have a number of access points that we have designed or that we have designed into the contract so that we can adjust those and move those as needed. So we have, if we need additional access points, we've put that into the design contract in order to implement those to get the access points where we need to avoid being on private property as much as possible.
Well, that's controlling the downside. I'm thinking about maximizing the upside of the coordination involved. Let me put it in terms of the five of us.
Okay.
Every single one of us has a bureau that needs to be playing well with others here. That is, we could plan, we will plan the neighborhood. We might move a street, move a fire bureau maintenance facility, build a community center, you know, and do mixed-use development, all in that triangle where your sewer project is. Are all of those bureaus communicating with one another, and how will we assess the trade-offs? Like, it might cost a little more to build the sewer project this way, but it will give PBOT much more flexibility about where the streets ultimately could be. How will those trade-off decisions be lifted up out of this design exercise to an inter-bureau and perhaps council level?
So, Mayor, let me just pose a question. So this is a design contract, and I think is, just so I understand, is this, are you raising this in the context of the scope of the contract or of the first responsibility of the party that we select to make sure they've done a 360 with everybody on this project?
Well, both, but again, we're about to spend, I realize there's been 100 years involved, but we're about to spend 10 times as much planning the repair of this pipe than we spent to build it in the first place. Granted, you could buy a lot in 1901 for $250,000, but before we spend $2.5 million on designing something, if there are, and having been in the design process a time or two, there are trade-offs. You may get to a point where it'll cost a little more to do it that way, but it will give PBOT three more choices than they have now about where the intersection would be. So how do we get to those discussions and make sure that everybody who has a stake in the decision is engaged in it? Not just you, not just this bureau and its design consultant.
This goes to what Commissioner Novick is trying to do with PBOT and making sure that there's coordination on utility work.
Yeah.
So, Tammy, there's probably one of two answers to this.
Okay.
One is an answer that gives the mayor the confidence that it's all teed up. And a second answer might be we can put this over to next week and get some additional information to my colleagues so they can evaluate whether that's sufficient, and if not, whether they have a suggestion for how we might make it more robust. What's your preference?
I would prefer to do the second because Virgil Adderley, who is
Hold on a second. Okay. Just one second.
He prefers the first.
My boss is in the back of the room there. So this is not an emergency item. So we do have a second reading next week.
Fine.
And we can provide additional information to the council through the commissioner's office as is required. I just have confirmed with Tammy, in how we scope this contract, we have flexibility for the number and size and location of our access points, both permanent and short term. So we have enough flexibility in the contract to carry out the coordination communication that you need, and we both feel comfortable with that.
But the question the mayor is asking, and we're going to start asking these kinds of questions more and more on big capital projects because of the coordination issue, is a great question. So, Mayor, what's your preference? Going to a second reading next week and seeing if the information that you receive is sufficient, or setting this over with the opportunity to slap an emergency clause on if you're satisfied?
No, I'm happy to let it roll over a second reading. I'd like a report back, though, to the council about how, if you're confident, and I haven't read your contract language or your scope of work, but if you're confident that your contract language and your scope of work allows the coordination that you're hearing us insist on, then we all have work to do to make sure that our bureaus are actually doing that coordination. And there's no villain of the piece here, and I'm not accusing BES of designing a project without thinking about other bureaus. It's just this one's really complicated. We got at least five bureaus, six if you include PDC, all on a very small piece of real estate with a lot of moving parts. And we have been known to get it right, but I want to make sure that that happens.
Well, let's not leave it to chance. So we'll report back to the council if this, if assuming this passes second reading, we'll get you a written update to those questions. And then if the council would like further discussion, we'll be happy to put this off again or address those in the, in the fall hearing.
And I think what we also need to hear from you is what you need from the other bureaus in order to meet your schedule. You may need the city engineer to say by July 15th or September 12th, here is the future street grid for this neighborhood. Work with it.
Yeah.
And the city engineer has that authority to tell you what the future street grid will be. But I'd rather that have be a collaborative process than handoff.
And this is precisely why these issues will be on the regular agenda and not in consent in the future. Yeah. I'm still in a state of shock. You know, we have 100-year-old pipes on a 400-year replacement schedule. But here we have a brick pipe, in essence. And it's amazing that that can actually still be serviceable for the future.
I believe there's some that are older than this in Rome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I add just one? We will have that report for you, but Virgil Adderley, who is the CSO program manager, has been attending those redevelopment meetings, and so we have that, and he's forwarded me all the information, so the coordination has started.
Yeah, so you'll work with our office. We'll get a report to my colleagues, and we'll see whether that addresses the initial concerns about having the best possible coordination on this, and I appreciate the comment, Mayor.
Yeah, no, it's a complicated one, and I wanted to raise it. One of the reasons my consciousness is particularly heightened on this one is that TriMet was working on a redevelopment project under the leadership of a woman who's now joining my staff that was assuming that that Gideon Street was never going to move, and I'm not sure if that was a good assumption or not, but we failed to communicate to TriMet what we thought we should do with that street in a timely way, so they started designing a development project. So there's always the opportunity for us to play parallel play here and not coordinate, and I'm trying to avoid that.
Thank you.
Good. Thanks. Look forward to hearing back from you. Any further discussion? Anyone want to testify on this item?
Yes, we have one person, Joe Walsh.
No? Okay.
Joe
he's declining. Okay.
Then
No, I thought you were declining. You were shaking your head. Come on up. We'd be happy to hear from you about sewers.
Well, when you get to be 72, you had to shake.
No, but you need to stop walking out when Joe speaks.
You need, ma'am, you need to let people speak.
Rudis.
Okay. Joe, you got 3 minutes on sewers.
Most of my, my name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. Most of my questions were answered in the dialogue that you just had. However, there was one question that came up about prior experiences with corporations, a company that come before you. My understanding, Mayor, is that you have a prior associations with this company.
Nope.
So the you have no association for CH2M Hill Engineered?
Nope.
Nothing.
Never
met them?
I know them, but I never worked there.
Never met them on a street corner and asked how they're doing?
I know them, but I didn't work there.
Okay. Our suggestion is that if a company or a corporation comes before you that you have prior experience with either working for them, consulting for them, or have a relationship, that you seriously think about stepping aside on a vote. That's our position. If we are wrong about your association, we acknowledge that we are infallible sometimes.
It's not fallible, all the time, but yes.
Not all the time, but sometimes.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
So you raised a question of ethics and disclosure, and that is each of us, when we take an oath of office here, are required to sever all business ties. I left my engineering company, HDR, not CH2M Hill, when I joined the council. I no longer own any stock in that company or have any commercial connection with it. Others on the council have business or real estate interests, and they're held in a blind trust. So there's a bright line between what we call the vow of poverty provision in the city charter that says you have no other employment, period, and that applies to me as well as to the rest of the council, and we all adhere to that requirement.
Okay. So we're ready, Mayor, now for the 545 times heard.
So let's call